Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
So there were tears, there was laughter, there was concern, there was joy, there was celebration. These are just a handful of the emotions that I experienced yesterday when I went to see Frozen 2. You could ask our four-year-old daughter what she experienced. I don't know, because I was still wrapped up in what I was experiencing. But just to suffice it to say, it lived up to the hype in my mind. And yesterday morning, it was Frozen 2 day finally in our house, and our daughter Hannah was 100% excited to go see the movie. And afterwards, she said, "It's 100% my favorite movie ever now." So we had a great time, and I'm not plugging the movie because I want Disney to make more money, but I'm just telling you it was a great joy to go see because it reminded me what we've been talking about throughout these couple of weeks of the power of movies as storytellers. These are these movies we've been tracking through that we want to remind ourselves that we watch these movies, we see these movies interact with us, and that they're powerful. They can evoke emotions. They can help us to learn things. They can inspire us. They can challenge us. They can make us cry. And like we did, like I said, we did all those things yesterday. But sometimes there's one other thing that movies do, and that is they hold up a mirror to us. They hold up a lens for us to see ourselves or to see the world in a couple of different ways. Sometimes movies hold up a lens for us to see ourselves as we really are. Sometimes we see a character and we can identify with them and go, "Wow, is that how I really act?" Or we'd see a character and go, "Wow, that's how I'd like to act." Or sometimes we'll see a movie that'll remind us that the world isn't quite the place that we want it to be. We'll be inspired to find our way through to understanding that there's a way in which we're getting a glimpse maybe of the way that the world should be through a portrait being portrayed in a movie. Or maybe perhaps we'll get a glimpse of a character that helps us work through the role that we're supposed to play in helping the world become the place God wants it to be. Now, exploring movies is a kind of a fun thing, but remember, it's only as helpful as that they inspire us to be more faithful in the journey of life that we are on. And so when we can look at certain films, they'll give us a glimpse into how the world really is and how the world maybe ought to be and how we can be part of making that gap between what is and what ought to be, what God wants and what is in the world, how we can be a part of making that gap go away, disappear, or fill it in. And there's a movie that I think that does this in a really masterful way because it's another one of the animated films that has come out in recent years. Now, you might be tracking with this series we've been in, and this is the last one of these today. And we started off with Moana, a Disney animated film. You're going to sense a trend here, right? Last week, we looked at Frozen, a Disney animated film. And today, we're going to take a look at Zootopia. Guess who made it and what kind of film it is? Disney animated film. Okay, now you might be thinking, wow, Josh really likes Disney. Josh doesn't get to watch much other than Disney in his home. If you've got a child, actually, if you've raised a child in the last 60 years, you know that Disney is on replay in your house. There's this thing, a streaming service called Disney Plus that came out this past weekend. Some of you might have signed up for it. Countless hours have been lost in life to people of all ages because the entire Disney canon is pretty much available right now. If you are in a family with a Disney member who loves Disney, there you go. That can be your Christmas gift, a year's subscription. You can thank me later. I did all your Christmas shopping. Now, this great film, Zootopia, came out a few years ago. It actually won the Academy Award for the best animated film that year. My brother and sister-in-law would argue that Moana should have won that year, but they recognized that the value of this movie, Zootopia, was that it told a story about the main character, Judy Hopps, a bunny, who discovered that the world, this place called Zootopia, a place that is a utopia with animals, so you got your zoo and utopia, Zootopia, and she discovered that the world doesn't quite work like she thought it would. She discovered that the world that she lived in wasn't quite as good as she thought it might be, and she had a choice. She could either get disillusioned, right, and throw in the towel, or she could follow through on helping the world become the place that she wanted it to be. And in good story fashion, she does not cash it in. She decides that she's going to take it upon herself to help the world go from how it is to how that she believed that it should be, and figure out what that gap in the middle was and how she could be a part of making that change. And so, in brief, the story follows this Judy Hopps, this character. She's a bunny, and there's this world in which the prey and the predator get along, and nobody's eating each other anymore. I guess they're all herbivores or something like that anymore. And so she decides that from a young age, she's going to be a bunny cop. She's going to be a police officer. And in this world, there has never been a bunny who has become a police officer before. So she's got this big dream about how she's going to help the world become a better place. And fast forward, she gets a little help from the Mammal Inclusion Initiative that the mayor has to help, you know, bunnies become officers. And she becomes an officer, and she gets her first assignment was that of being a meter maid, not exactly a life-changing assignment, but she finds her way into realizing that the world, like I said, wasn't how she thought it should be. She found that the predator and prey, while they didn't eat each other anymore, they really didn't get along anymore. She found that there were people with power that were abusing people without power. She found that there were people plotting evil things and that she needed to be about thwarting them. And at one moment, you watch this movie, and maybe this is the part that I resonate with the most, but there's this one moment where you just wonder, is she going to give up? Is she going to see that the deck has been stacked against her so much that she doesn't believe that that gap between what is and what ought to be, this vision of a beautiful community for all people, can become a reality? And instead of giving up, she gets fired up once again and pursues the way in which that she can help the world become the place that she believes it should be. She continually says, repeatedly says as well, that we're going to make the world a better place. And she does that by engaging in solving one of the greatest crimes that has been perpetrated in Zootopia. And everybody lives and finds their way into a safe and beautiful future. The end. Now you don't have to go see the movie or rent it. But there's this moment that she goes through, and there's this moment that we all go through where we find our way going from understanding that the world is one way when God wants it to be another way. She had a glimpse of a message of hope, a message of unity, a message of utopia, as it were, that is brought through the message of this movie. And what this movie does for us is it paints a picture that we can look at and go, maybe there's a way that we can see our world through this story, through this lens, that's a little less intimidating. Maybe we can use that story to then unpack for ourselves the ways in which the harsh realities of this world show us that there is a gap between what is and what God wants. And this is one of the things that this movie can help us do. But it's more importantly, one of the things that Jesus does for us. Jesus is consistently painting a picture for the people at the time when he was alive, painting a picture of what it means for there to be, what it means for the reality for there to be a gap between what God wants and what is in the world. And one of the things that Jesus seems to be driving after consistently in his teachings is there's a temptation that when we figure this out, that there's a gap, that there's this gap, that we might find ourselves wanting to condemn. We might want to find ourselves giving up. That there's this difference between what is and what God wants, and it just feels too big. So instead of doing a little bit or a lot or helping and doing our part to make it become the place, we just say no. I'm going to give up. I'm going to condemn. I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm not going to love this world. This world isn't lovable. God, if the world is the way it is, then God must not love us anymore. These are some of the messages that I know play in our heads. These are some of the messages that play in our heads, and these are some of the same things that were going through the minds of the people that Jesus was interacting with as well. And so Jesus brings us this reminder in one of the most pivotal conversations that he has with this man Nicodemus, that he, when you're Jesus, you can talk about yourself like this, that he was sent in the world to show us that while we might be lost, And while there might be a gap between what is and what God wants, God didn't give up on the world. God didn't condemn the world. Rather, God sent love into the world to remind us that God knows that there's a gap, but that God wants to do something about the gap. And what did God do? God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus to remind us that God wants us to love the world, to not condemn it. God sent Jesus to remind us that we are not to live as lost people, but as people who are trying to help the world become a better place. That we are called to help that gap disappear so that the dream that God has for the world can become a reality. This is the message that God gives to us, and this is the message that God speaks to us through the sending of Jesus. And this beautiful thing happens is that God didn't just stop with sending Jesus. God decided that God was going to use people too. And so just like God sent Jesus into the world, God sends us into the world to help the world become the place God wants it to be. God sends every one of us to acknowledge that there's a gap between what God wants and what is, but God sends us into that gap so that we can not condemn it, but so we can love it, so we can help that gap disappear. And each one of us is called into helping that happen. Each one of us is called to look at the world for what it is and understand what God's hopes are and help God's hopes become a reality. So the question then is, how do we do this? How do we help that gap? Once we acknowledge that it's there, how do we find our inner sense of self, and how do we go forward into this? And the first thing I want to suggest for us is that there's two things we want to look at. There's a gap in our lives, and there are gaps in the world that we want to think about when we talk about how do we make the world a better place. Now, there's a sense in which you might be called to look at the gaps in the world, and you feel like you're ready for that, but there's some of us here today who find ourselves thinking, there's a gap in my life. There's a gap in who I am. There's a gap between who I am and who I want to be. There's a gap between who I am and who God wants me to be. And so maybe what we need to do, and this is something that takes a daily practice, is we need to look in on ourselves and ask ourselves, what's the gap in my life that needs to be overcome? What's the gap between who I am and who God wants me to be? And how can I become more that person? Because watch what happens, right? We know what happens. We just have to be reminded ourselves of this, is if we can close that gap in our lives, and if the person next to us closes the gap in their life, and you trust them to close the gap in their life, and they trust you to close the gap in your life, you know, pay attention to your own gap, not their gap, right? What happens? There's less and less distance between you and who God wants you to be. And the more people that are becoming the person God wants them to be, the more the world will become a better place. It will be filled with more patience. It will be filled with more goodness, more kindness, more self-control. There'll be less poverty. There'll be less homelessness. There'll be less food insecurity. All these things because we have looked inside of ourselves and closed that gap. Now, you might be asking yourself, how can working on myself impact those things? One of the things that happens when you work on yourself, and this is one of my growing edges, is if you have a better sense of self-control, you're going to consume less resources of all kinds, right? And if you yourself are consuming less resources, then there's going to be more to share. And when you can do that for yourself, you end up doing that with someone else in the world because you can share what you haven't taken, and then the other persons can experience that. Now, you might be saying to yourself, you know, this sounds all well and good, but there are some people that are just so much further along in the journey of becoming the person God wants them to be. And, you know, I'll just let them become better and better, and I'll just be satisfied with where I'm at. If you talk to one of those people that are like, you know, I've been looking at my own life, and I've been improving myself, and you know what they're going to tell you? It's the best thing they've ever done. Because when you become the person God wants you to be, not only does your life get better, but your relationships get better. Your family gets better. Your Thanksgiving isn't full of as much drama as it used to be. Your kids want to spend time with you, not just because you're your parents, they're your parents, but because they actually enjoy you. These things happen. When we look inside ourselves, we can see that gap. And when we are honest with that gap between who we are and who God wants us to be, we can acknowledge that gap. But there's also gaps in the world around us. And this is complicated, right? Because there are gaps in the world that are, and there are many of them. And when you turn on the TV, or when you talk to someone, or you look at a newspaper, or you scroll through whatever kind of feed you take your media in on, what are we confronted with? The gaps in the world. The gaps between the way the world is and the way God wants it to be. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. And if you think about there's a gap that you're aware of, think about how you became first aware of that gap. Think about how you figured out that there was a difference between what is and what maybe ought to be, or what is and what God wants to be. And there was a moment when you were first exposed to that, or a moment when you've been exposed to that recently, and you found yourself confronted with that explanation of or this instance of how the world isn't the place that God wants it to be. And there was that feeling inside of you. There's that sense of, this is just not right. This is just not the way it should be. Why are there people who are suffering? Why are there people who are homeless? Why are there people who are food insecure? Why isn't somebody doing something about that? And in that moment where you ask yourself, why isn't there someone doing something about it? That's the sign that that's the gap that you are called to be about. As soon as you ask yourself, why isn't something doing something about this? You're that someone who maybe is called to do something about it. Pay attention to that time. Some people say, pay attention to that tension. I heard another pastor say that. When we pay attention to those moments, when we ask ourselves, why isn't somebody doing something about this? That's a sign to us that we are called to potentially solve that gap. Now, some of those gaps that we experience are monumental. Some of them are not new, they're ancient. Some of them are complex. And so we wonder and we ask ourselves, well, how can I, as one person, do something about that big gap out in the world? How can I do something about that gap when so many people just live to condemn that situation instead of sending love? What can I do about this? One of the beautiful things about our world today is sometimes one person can make the biggest difference because of the world we live in and the age we live in. One person getting passionate can change the tide of everything. But also, in our world today, one person can find other people who are passionate about seeing that change in the world. That's one of the great blessings of living in the modern technological age we have. If you have a burden on your life where you go, who is that someone who's going to solve that problem? Maybe I'm that someone. You can find the other people who are going to address that problem with you. A quick Google search will get you on the right track, probably, to find the people who are passionate about that. And when you find that group of people that feels passionate and feel called to solve that problem, you can use your time, you can use your resource, you can use yourself to help the world become the place God wants it to be. Because God doesn't want us to condemn the world. God wants us to love the world. God wants us to take who we are and close that gap. Make sure that God calls us to make sure that that gap is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. That's what God did for us, and that's what God wants us to do for the world. So the next time you find yourself thinking, man, maybe I'm just not living out the life that I want, pay attention to that moment. Give yourself a chance to say, that's the gap that I need to think about. Or maybe the next time you're confronted with that feeling of, why isn't somebody doing something about this? Maybe that's the gap that you're called to address in the world. But either way, with one or both of these, God wants us to love the people in those places. God wants us to love ourselves. God wants us to love the world so that both we and the world can become the place God wants it to be. So let us live into that love now and always. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are @Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.